You know, we are a church that embraces the book of Acts. We embrace the book of Romans. We embrace Corinthians, where it talks about the gifts, and that we do believe here that, you know, without Holy Spirit, we really have nothing, because you can't come to Jesus without Holy Spirit's help. Amen. And no one finds Jesus. You know, we didn't wake up one day and get saved and find him. And that, but Holy Spirit's been drawing and speaking. He's using grandma and grandpa's prayers. He's using prayers of fourth generations ago, praying over their future grandkids and great grandkids. And all those prayers, God says, are being stored up, and he's speaking them out and releasing them out into your life and over the lives around you. So when you begin to pray, don't let the enemy think that it's insignificant, because your prayers are linking with other people's prayers, and it's making all the difference. Amen. And that God is in control. And that this morning we're going to talk a little bit. We've been talking, and this is the last of what I'm going to share on this for a little while, but I just felt like God said I needed to emphasize this right back to the very beginning, on him. And that God, we could never exhaust the study on him. You could spend the rest of your life just seeking him and trying to figure out him and spending your time in the Word to get to know just who he is, 900 plus attributes, titles, and characteristics of God, and you would never finish studying before you would die. We just don't have enough time to fill all of that, but I've been trying to draw out of there a few things I felt God put on my heart to begin to share so that we could embrace together. So we talked about some of the names of God. You can see some of them in behind me here, and that we're talking about that he's a living stone, he's the author, he's almighty, he's glory, he's the shepherd, he's our priest, he's our ruler, he's our witness, he's mighty, he's Jehovah Jireh, and that our provider, and so forth and so forth. And that we see this wonderful picture of a God who does not need us, but he wants to reveal himself to us. He's wanting to be with you. He's wanting to do life with you. He's wanting you to embrace him and allow him to pour his goodness into your life. Last week, we talked about the goodness of God. Man, there's so many scriptures. The list was just on, and I didn't even exhaust all the scriptures. And that as I just tried to really, mostly, I just kept reading scriptures and then just collectively bring them together, because God, in one slice, he is good, is an attribute. One of his attributes is goodness. But God himself, everything encompassing around that is goodness. He just is good. Anything good that has come in your life is a gift from God. Is a gift from God. To all the men, he who finds a good wife finds a good thing. That's a princess God gave you. Wives, that's the prince. That's God's son that he gave you. You see, when our perspective changes, well, then it's much easier to treat each other with kindness. It's much easier to look at each other with goodness within our heart, because our perspectives get adjusted when we start to realize just how good he is. Today, I want to talk about God's sovereignty. Yesterday, today, and forever. It's a topic we don't really like to talk about because we don't fully understand God's sovereignty. Amen? Has anyone here kind of got it all? No. Oh, you've got it all. You understand it? Oh, I don't understand it all. But we don't understand it all. Why? Because there's things that happen in our life and we just pause. We say, you know, man, God, if you are good, if you're in control, why on earth did this happen? Job went through it. Pretty much everyone in the Bible's gone through it. Pretty much everyone in this room has gone through it. At one point or another, bad stuff happens to good people. And good stuff happens to bad people. And I don't quite understand it. Apart from one simple verse, God's will is that none would perish. And he lavishes good on everyone. When he throws it out, he does not stop and say, oh, well, ooh, so-and-so's not so good. I'm not really throwing anything their way. He throws it out not because you deserve it, Not because your neighbor deserves it, your coworker deserves it, your kid or someone else deserves it. He throws it out and he wants you to throw it out because he deserves it. And his will is that no one would miss out on tasting and seeing the goodness of God. God is sovereign. So let's break it down. Let's look at a few things here as we open up our hearts. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6 to 8. It says this, Isaiah 44, 6 to 8. This is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay it out before me what he has happened since I established my ancient people. And what is yet to come? Yes, let them foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell this long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. You know, as a pastor, I get questions lots by different ones. And, you know, in the world we live in today, we're so intertwined. 40, 50 years ago, to make a travel across the globe to another place, it was pretty costly. And not everyone did it. You go back 100 years, going to Toronto to go watch a game? My goodness, well, like, what would you do some crazy thing like that for? You'd have to leave 2 days before it. But we're so intertwined in this world today that we know within moments of what's happened in another part of the world. We can feel their pain. We can see the horror. We can embrace things that generations in past never had to handle. In that magnitude, all you got to do is turn on your news and you're just flooded with one thing after another, after another, after another. And it can start to get us wondering, God, are you really in control? Because, man, things really look messed up out there. Until you start reading Scripture. And sometimes in North America, we've been sold a lie that if we just come to the Lord, everything will be peachy creamy. Everything will just work out great and my benefit and everything will just be so nice and my husband will love me so much and he'll let me spend anything I want, whenever I want. I'm joking. But we've taken it so far. Yet, where in Scripture does God ever, ever say that? He does not. He says, in fact, the moment you allow me to reign in your life, you are putting a target on you. You might as well be that deer in hunting season and paint yourself, or that rabbit in hunting season. We don't have snow and it's turned white and it's like it's hiding and you're just standing like Tony was saying. He was out one day, saw this rabbit, and all of a sudden it's crouched down thinking no one can see it. It's bright white, green everywhere, or brown. And he says, man, I just didn't have compassion to even to do anything other than to say, man, did you realize I can see you? I mean, God's sovereignty. I'm asked this question, you know, why do you think your God is better than our God? Why do you think your God is any greater than mine? And these questions ring, and if you go onto the internet, it is really confusing at times. Because the enemy says he will masquerade himself as an angel of light. And the worst and the hardest thing for us is not some person getting on there, dressing up as a witch or a warlord, Lord, doing some crazy things and everything else. We would turn around and say, whoa, that's not good because it doesn't look good. But what happens is the danger is he masquerades as an angel of light. And so all of a sudden he comes to us and he shares half-truths Well, I remember something like that in Scripture, but we don't go back and check it. Because if Google said it, it's got to be true. So we embrace all of these things and we don't realize that these are now beginning to shape our perspective of who God is and who we are instead of allowing the Word to do it. Instead of allowing the presence of God to shape that for us, we're allowing everything else to shape it for us. So when I'm asked this question, what makes you think your God is better than everyone else? These are the answers I came up with. And they'll come in behind. Hopefully they're not too small for you. And that because the God I worship is before all things. You'll see that in Colossians 1, Psalms 90, Revelations 1, 1 Timothy 6. He is before all things. Nothing existed before him. No one existed before him. He was before all things. Because the God I worship, he created all things, both in heaven and on earth, both visible and invisible. He created all things. So you're wondering why I believe that my God is the God. These are the reasons why. He upholds all things, sustains everything, holding it together by his word. Hebrews 1, Colossians 1. And that because the God I worship is above all things. Ephesians 4 and Isaiah 53. Specifically, so that the people of China and Africa and United States and Canada and South America and any other place you could name may know him. He's above all things. The God I worship is not only above all things, but he knows all things. He isn't a limited God. He knows everything completely before it happens, Isaiah 46 and Psalms 139. Not only does he know everything, but he can do all things. There's nothing that God can't do. Nothing is impossible for him. And we see that in Jeremiah 32 and Luke chapter 1. Nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing, not anything is impossible for him. Not only can he do all things, but he accomplishes all things. He orchestrates and determines what he is going to do in your life and in my life. And as Scripture says, he's planned every good work in advance for you to do. How many know it's good to do good things? Amen? So if you want to do good things, all you got to do is wait on him and say, God, what good things you got for me today? Because he's already prepared them in advance. And listen to me. You can step out trying to do good things on your own, okay? And you will get tired. That's why the scripture says, don't grow weary in doing good. But when you pause and you wait on the Lord, and he says, go right, and you start to go right, guess what? He called you to go right, so whom he calls, he will equip. He'll give you every bit of strength, every bit of resource, every bit of thing that you need to do to accomplish what he asked you to do, because he created it and spoke it into existence before you were even born. He knows every good work that you're meant to do in life. Everything. Not all the pressures people put on you, but everything he's planned for your life. Not only does he accomplish all things, but he rules over all things. This is what sovereignty is. All strength and power are in his hands. Daniel chapter 4, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Not only does he rule over all things, he's in control over all things. Whenever the economy goes south, or whether kings, earthly kings rage out of control, God is in control. When Satan wants to mess with your life, he has to speak for God's permission. The enemy is not in control. God is. And you and I think, remember we talked last week about the goodness of God? Ashfa, in Psalms where he's walking, you know, goodness is absent from problems, everything going right, everything I want in life, and so forth at the very first of the Psalms. And then by the end of it, his definition changes everything. He throws out that definition and he says the very goodness of God is simply one thing we heard spoken through the interpretation today is his presence. If I have him, all hell can break loose around me and it doesn't matter because I can be at peace in the midst of the storm. Devil, what do you got on me? You beat my life up. You beat up things around me. What do you got on me? Nothing. Nothing. Because God's greater than it all. And even though he might not do what I want him to do in the time that I need him to do it, he still sits on the throne and I still will serve him. It's not goodness is, oh, if everything goes right and everything goes the way I want it, like he's like a cosmic genie. But it's just the fact of his presence. That is goodness exemplified. Are we content with just being with him? Is he enough? Is God enough? Or is it all the benefits? That's what we need to make enough. Rockefeller, the millionaire. He was asked in an interview one time and said, you know, well, how much is enough? You know, like when is it ever enough? You know, he says, well, enough is just when I get a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And sometimes we're in that same place. We take on those patterns of the world and we wonder why they don't work in church. They don't work in a relationship with God. Well, if I just have a little bit more, God, if you just do a little bit more for me, we get that healing, we get that answer, that excitement lasts for just a few moments until another heavy knock comes, and then we're discontented again, and where is he, what is he doing? I need a little bit more. Instead of allowing peace and rest to come into our soul, and just say, you know what, I'm content with just having him. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking that Eeyore syndrome. Woe is me. This is my lot in life. I guess I'll just have to keep going. I'm not talking that. But the Bible tells me that when we seek him, his righteousness, when we seek his fellowship, when we just seek him, his face, everything will be added unto us. If he's prepared every good work in advance, what am I worried about? If his word is a lamp unto my feet, he's going to guide me as long as I hang on to him. He'll guide me where I need to go because he orders the steps of the righteous. Amen? We just need to come and we just need to take a big breath and let it go and just rest a few moments in him. Because the world has shaken us and the questions get ringing on who really is in control and what is going on. The sovereignty of God is that which separates God of the Bible from all other religions, claims of truth, and prophecies. God is sovereign. God is in control of everything. Job said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. If God said it, it will come to pass. Period. Oh, now you might need to wait a little bit. And we're so impatient. That's hard. We get anxious about everything. Yet the Bible says don't be anxious about anything, but bring everything in prayer and petition before him because he cares for you. But we're just prone that way. It's our human condition that needs to get adjusted. He is in control. And anything he speaks will not get thwarted. We just got to hang on for the ride and trust that he's good. Trust that he does know what he's doing and that he's holding things together. When we say God is sovereign, we declare by virtue he is the creatorship over life and reality. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, benevolent ruler, that he is in fact the Lord of lords. He is the king of all kings, and he is absolutely in control of time and eternity. Nothing will come into my life today that he did not either allow or decree for my ultimate good. Now, when we're not in a tough time, every one of us will probably agree with this statement. When did we learn the most in our life? In the good times or in the tough times? How many say the good times? How many say the tough times? So can I simply say this? When you're going through a tough time, can you remember that? Ask God to remind you that. Oh, God. Oh, this sucks. This is no good. Oh, but wait. God, you are good. You're in control. This is tough, God, and I'm going to keep casting it up to you. I'm going to keep lifting it to you. But God, this isn't going to hold me back because I know you got me. You've always got me. Right? If we stop and count your blessings, name them one by one. If we stop and start counting them, oh my goodness, we'd be here forever because he is so good. So many things that you don't even understand and I don't understand that God has done to protect you. Save us from deals, other things, whatever. He knows what he's doing in our lives and he's rearranging all sorts of stuff. It's just that we don't get anxious and we got to do and I got to, you know, just. He's good and he's in control. You can speak to your daddy and your daddy listens. And he not only listens, but he always works out for your good. He might not give you what you want. He will always, always, can we say it together? Always give you what you need. That will reveal his goodness in your life and his glory to everyone else. We serve a sovereign God that is in control. If you want some specific examples of what exactly is under God's control, let's take a following of some of these phrases in these scriptures, earthly kings. That's why, you know, I paused and I ended up sharing it Sunday night and not in the morning about a prophecy over Donald Trump. I don't know how many news stations and everything else. I looked at McLean's magazine the other day. I can't remember where I was. And front cover is Donald Trump and then Trudeau. And it's like, look, oh, Canada, now it's the end. There's a guy on TV and that he's been through all sorts of stuff. And he's a guy that preaches and teaches on TV. And he's like, oh, now the end of the world is coming. World War III is on its way now. Why? Because crazy Trump got in. Well, I'm so sorry. Romans chapter 13 says God is the one that puts all authority into place. Well, since when? Why are we taking God out of everything? We took him out of the schools. Now we take him out of politics. We take him out of our personal Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we cram him into one day. I'm sorry. God is bigger than Sunday. He's bigger than our limits and things that we try to put on him. He is sovereign. He is in control. Not only is it over earthly kings, but human events. Yeah, God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament. But thank God Almighty that he chose to reveal his son to pay the debt of our sin. So that his wrath, which is perfect, and that could be answered by the blood of Christ, so that your blood and my blood didn't need to get shed. Because your blood and my blood wouldn't cover anything other than the ground that it spills on. But Christ's blood, he was pure, spotless lamb. And he was able to pay the price, not just physically, but spiritually, pay the price that made a gulf and a barrier between you and I. You might say, well, that's not really fair. It's because our forefather, Adam and Eve, made a mistake. And everyone since then has paid for it. Can I pause for a second? Not that this is something I was going to share. But what you say and what you do, it matters. And it does impact people. We live in a generation that says, as long as I don't hurt anyone, I could do whatever I want, when I want, and how I want. Listen to me. Everything you do, it matters. Everything you say, it matters. It impacts the lift up or to tear down. Everything matters. You are made with a purpose. Good angels, Satan and bad angels, human decisions. God's in control. He moves. He moved a donkey to open his mouth and speak. He moves all sorts of situations. He used my little daughter. At times, I remember when she was so young and she'd have a little crayon and pencil and she'd be drawing away. And all of a sudden, she's whispering to her mommy, saying, "Mommy, how do you spell this?" She's writing, trying to write it down. And she brings this thing up as I'm speaking, and she brings a piece of paper up, and it was a prophetic word for the church. She was young. God will use anyone. If you use a donkey, he'll use a little baby, a little two-year-old. He'll use you and me if we just say yes. He doesn't want you to miss out. Does he need us? No. He's God. But he wants us. He doesn't want anyone to miss out. He wants us to grab a hold of his goodness. God makes numerous claims about himself in the Bible that many other religions, systems, don't even attempt to rival. When he claims his sovereignty, he is pointing to himself as the ultimate source of all power, ultimate source of all authority, ultimate source of everything that exists. So what makes you think that your God is any greater or any better than anyone else? In one word, simply, because my God is sovereign. Sovereignty, we look at the adjective of it. You can look in behind me here. What does it mean? It means that he is above or superior to all others. He is the chief. He is the greatest. He is supreme. It means that he is supreme in power, in rank, in authority. There is no one above him. It means upholding the position of ruler, royal, and reigning. He is independent of all others. He does not need you and me to complete him. But I need him to complete me. Amen? He doesn't need us to complete him. He is sovereign. He is excellent. And he is outstanding. The noun for sovereign simply is a person who possesses sovereign authority or power, specifically a monarch or a ruler. He is our King of Kings. He's the king over every king. Every knee will bow before him. Do not let our pride ever raise us to a place that we think that we are not going to bow before him. Everyone will bow before him. We can hold back and we can say, "I'm tough and I'm a man," or I'm a woman, I can do what I, and I'm in control. Look at all my life and look what I'm doing. One day, everyone will. Hitler's right-hand man. Angel of death. Grenade or something went off. He got blood poison or something. I can't remember exactly, but something went wrong. And he was dying. They were locking him away because of what he was screaming out. And that he had the vision, "We're burning. What we're doing is wrong to the Jews." Yet he was one of the main ones doing it. And he just all of a sudden got a picture of what he was doing was wrong. He said, "We're burning." He said, "I'm burning in hell right now." He's screaming out in agony and pain. God is sovereign. He never created hell for a human being. His will is that none would ever perish. So please don't ever, ever breathe out of your lips. And when someone else says it, correct them. God never sends anyone to hell. You and I, he gave us a free choice. We don't like to admit things, do we? It's everyone else's fault. It's never mine. But we actually choose either to surrender and allow him to be our king, allow him to be our savior, and allow him to shed his goodness over our life and through our life, or we choose to resist him, and we choose what the world would say the party place. And can I just simply say this without going down this road? There is nothing in Scripture that says there would be any partying in hell. It is not a place that I want my worst enemy to go. I don't understand it. I know there's controversy all around it. But when I look at Scripture, I can simply say this. It is not a place we want anyone to be in. And so I think you and I have some business to do, don't we? With our family, with our community, with our workplace. We're not done yet, are we? We got a lot more to do. And that because God's will is none would perish. And how will they know if someone doesn't tell them? A.W. Tozer said this in his book, Knowledge of the Holy. Were there even 1 ounce of knowledge, however small, unknown to God, if that was true, his rule would break down at that point. To be Lord over all creation, he must possess all knowledge. And were God lacking one microscopic degree of power, that lack would end his reign and undo his kingdom. That one stray atom of power would belong to someone else other than God, and God would be limited in his rule and hence not sovereign. Furthermore, his sovereignty requires that he is absolutely free, which means simply that he must be free to do whatever he wills to do anytime, any place, anywhere, to carry out his eternal purpose in every single detail without interference. Were he any less than free, he must be less than sovereign. Don't put God in a box. Don't come with pat answers. We call them the Sunday school answers. When someone's broken and going through, it's okay to say, I don't know. I don't understand. But I do know one thing. God is good all the time. And he'll hold you through this. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's his promise. Not that everything will go easy. But his promise is that he'll never leave you. Let me pray for you. Let me lift you up. Let me help you. Let me be hands extended of God right now towards you. Oh, we have a mission to do here. And that is we lift up, but let's not belittle or take God down, but let's lift him up even more. How does God reveal his sovereignty to us? He reveals it through his titles. We've talked a lot about that. Sovereign Lord, Most High, Alpha and Omega, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, I am who I am, the eternal, the self-existent one. I will be addressed as reverence because of my own greatness. There is no one like him. Not only through his titles, but through his promises. Anyone can make a promise. How many times has someone promised you something and you're sitting there waiting? I remember one of my good friends, we said he was on island time. He was from one of the islands. And I don't mean any negative towards that. He was my best friend, so it was okay. But I remember sitting on the steps time and time again. He'd say, hey, I'm coming at 3:00. So I'm out, trying to be really good and respectful. I'm out 10 minutes early. Sitting out in the front steps, 1 hour and 25 minutes later. I'm like, man, okay, he's got to forgot me by now. You think I would catch it earlier, right? But I was a little slow. So I go inside and I make a call to him and say, hey, and that is everything okay? Did something happen? Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I forgot. I was eating some Joe Louie and drinking some chocolate milk, and I just forgot the time. I'll be right over. Okay. I go back and sit outside. 1/2 hour later, he comes. How many times have we had some promises or some people will say something to us, and then all of a sudden it doesn't come into reality? But with God, he keeps them all the time. Romans 8:28 and 30 says, and we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. For those God foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, and that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. That's quite a promise. If I just sum it up real simple in terms, because I need simplicity, he's not done with you yet. Be patient with yourself and just let him have the rule. He's not done with you yet. He's still doing a work in you. We're so hard on ourselves sometimes that we want to be perfect today. But listen, if you're perfect today, we should have a different service now. And we should change it to a funeral service, because when you're perfect, you're going to heaven. Until then, you still got stuff to work on. Amen? Amen? Amen. Rockcliffe's not made up of perfect people. We just got the perfect one. We're trying to look towards and move towards and allow him to be reigning in us. Philippians 2, 9 to 10, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, Jesus, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under earth. Not only through his promises, but through his story, through history. We see over and over again through Israel and through the nations, through your life, through my life, God has been revealing his goodness over and over again, and the fact that he is in control. Through prophecy, Daniel, Isaiah, his ability to tell the future 100% accurately every time. God has just a way prophetically to speak to us. Through Christ, we see his sovereignty. Christ fulfilled over 300 and some prophecies spoken way before Christ ever came. And he fulfilled all of them. The likelihood of Jesus being able to fulfill 8 of them is like 1 to the something like 16 billion possibility of any human being ever even just coming close to 8 of those prophecies, yet Jesus fulfilled all 300. Why? Because God keeps his promises. Because God is sovereign and he knows what's happening in advance. God is sovereign and he is in control. Why didn't God prevent suffering? Why didn't he do the things we needed him? Because he created us in his image. And the high price tag for that loving relationship among people, is freedom. He gave us the ability to choose. Remember a while ago, there was this is going back when I was younger, I remember hearing about this bomb that went off. And it exploded in this building, and the building should have held up, but it collapsed on a daycare. And all through the news, and different people were, what kind of God would allow stuff like that? I can't believe it. Until they did a little bit of research, and it found out that the guy that built the building cheaped out on the concrete, cheaped out on the metal structure, he cheaped out on everything he could because of greed. Listen to me. God gets blamed for a whole lot. He gets blamed for a whole lot because we as people don't like to take ownership for our mistakes. But just because he gets blamed for a whole lot doesn't mean it's true. He is in control. He is good. He knows what he's doing and that he doesn't need us, but he loves us. So how do we respond to a sovereign God? How do we really respond to him? Really? First is that we need to learn to bow before him. We're in a driven world that we're in control of everything. But we need to let him have control again. Believe in your life that whatever comes into your life, good, bad, or ugly, none of it's greater than him. And he has the ability to take and turn and move and shift and turn upright and change. In fact, he says in one portion, I'll never give you more than you can handle. Will you trust me? And if it is too much for you to handle, I'll give you a way out, he says. So if he hasn't opened the door for the way out, inside of you should just bubble up with strength and confidence. Well, God, you think I'm stronger than I am. Man, I don't understand it, but okay, God, you haven't given me a way out, so I guess you want me to keep trotting along, and I'm going to start to get up on top of this water and start getting out of the boat and walking on top of this storm because it's got nothing on me. Amen? Because he is in control. Otherwise, he'll say, hey, exit right now. Miracle, healing, a door to get out of the situation. And we exit right, and we say, okay, God, I'm over here now. What's up? He says, oh, don't worry. There's no plan B or C or D with me. I only have plan A for you. I've always had only one plan. Everyone around you might tell you that you've lost your plan A, but I'm not telling you that because I'm in control. So who are you going to listen to? Now, all of a sudden, he brings you down this path, which has always been his plan for you. And he'll lead you through it if you'll let him. Our mistakes, and that don't end everything. You are not big enough to control God. He is in control, and he will always direct your footsteps if you come and bow before him and allow him to lead you.